The Leader's View on Construction in 2025, 10 Things Shaping the Industry Today. Where is Construction 2025 in 2025? Published in 2013, Construction 2025 was a joint strategy from government and the construction industry. In it, the two parties set out a vision for how they would work in partnership for the future of the UK construction sector. The strategy's proposals were aimed at reducing initial construction costs and whole life asset costs, timescales for new build and refurbishment projects, greenhouse gas emissions, and the trade gap between exports and imports for construction products and materials. A significant outcome of the strategy was the creation of the Construction Leadership Council, or CLC, to guide progress towards these four goals. More than a decade on from Construction 2025's publication, there is little reference to the strategy on the CLC's website. Indeed, the construction industry as a whole rarely mentions it, despite what it set out to achieve. In part, this is because subsequent events have overtaken the strategy. The CLC and the sector it represents have had to respond to the Grenfell Tower fire and the subsequent examination of building safety, Brexit, net zero targets, and COVID-19. The CLC as an organisation has changed and its remit has increased. Ideas and initiatives have had to adapt. While Construction 2025's targets have had to be constantly re-evaluated, these significant events have also reaffirmed the strategy's original aims. Now we're in the eponymous year, I'm assessing what is shaping the construction industry today in preparation for tomorrow. Customer centricity. Customer centricity is nothing new. In a white paper about what is defining the construction industry today, customer centricity might seem like an unlikely choice to come first. Meeting customer needs has been central to marketing since at least the mid-20th century and has evolved since into entire business strategies. The digital age has only accelerated that trend. As an organization, SFS's core values are solid and robust. They live strongly within the business and inform everything we do. Why, then, is customer centricity so fundamental to us in 2025? Is it simply to do with it being a digital thing? That may be a small part of the equation. The true importance of customer centricity is that it's the next level of our core values. As such, it must be part of SFS's very DNA. It's not enough to simply talk about customer first. We have to embed customer centricity throughout, from the segment level down. When you view everything through a construction-specific lens, there is an even bigger reason to make customer centricity so important. If we don't, then what our industry wants to achieve will be almost impossible in 2025 and beyond. What is customer centricity? Customer centricity is not a theme or trend or a one-off initiative, something we'll focus on this year and then forget in 2026. What it is critical to our business. When customers interact with us, it starts a process. That process can begin anywhere: ordering goods through our website, submitting a technical inquiry, or talking to a sales advisor out on the road. Each step that follows in the process impacts on the customers in a good way or in a bad way. For us, customer centricity is making sure the culture of SFS is such that our people understand every action has a good or bad impact on the customer's experience. Everyone must have a customer-centric mind, in short. Achieving that is not the work of a moment. It will take time to become fully apparent as we make this journey of continuous improvement. One element of customer centricity is collaboration and strategic partnerships. These words can be overused in our industry, so part of our journey is looking at how we collaborate with customers. Our white paper about collaboration unpicks what successful collaborative efforts look like. Our customers need us. They need our products, services, knowledge, and expertise. Likewise, we need our customers. We need them to work with us to help develop solutions, and we need to design that way of working into our customer-centric approach. A true partnership is invisible, almost. It's a way of working. We need to capture that way of working so our partnerships develop solutions capable of meeting the future needs of the built environment. Customer centricity is internal as well as external. Customer centricity research by PricewaterhouseCoopers indicates that a good customer experience starts with a good employee experience. It is easy to think of customers only in terms of external partners and stakeholders, but we must also consider how our employees feel and act when working with each other. Our biggest asset is our people, and we need to invest in them. Training our workforce is very important, and we openly admit it's something we can do more with and work harder at. Everything continually changes and develops, and the training we offer must reflect that. When we train people, we give them the knowledge and confidence to relay information in a professional way, whether that is to their colleagues or our external customers. As we start to see the fruits of those labors, and as customer centricity becomes embedded more within our culture, we'll increasingly see our staff own the problem and make a positive contribution to finding a solution. The five pillars of SFS's customer-centric culture. The same PricewaterhouseCoopers research cautions that, when not done correctly, adopting customer centricity can feel like being all things to all people. Such an approach rarely works. No single thing defines customer centricity. Instead, it is about coordinating strategic decisions, making specific choices, and communicating those from the outset through consistent messaging. As part of its strategic approach, SFS has adopted five pillars that define our vision of customer centricity. These are speed, dependability, quality, flexibility, and value. Implementing all five pillars across our organization means working on multiple improvement processes. Digitalization is a key one. Improving efficiency is also critical to deliver the same quality and dependability, but with greater value. One aspect we are really focusing on is the last mile. What happens between us dispatching products from our factory and those products being received on site? Site receipt is such an important element within the construction industry. How we make improvements to the last mile for a better and more reliable service for our customers is essential to creating a more efficient construction industry. The Building Safety Act. The welcome bureaucracy of the Building Safety Act. The construction industry is going through one of the biggest changes of my 30-year career in product manufacturing. That change is being driven by one thing, the Building Safety Act. At last, our industry is being made to realize it has to address its weaknesses, especially those that led to the tragedy of Grenfell Tower. One of the biggest impacts we're seeing from the Building Safety Act is a shift in how construction projects are procured. The 1990s gave us a period where there was a significant uptake in design and build contracts. Now, the industry is redirecting from that, back to more traditional specification. It's not a wholesale reversal because there is more regulation and more accountability than 30 years ago. But with the Act's gateways, and Gateway 2 in particular, there is a definite appetite and need for more design before build rather than design and build. The Act is bringing a lot of bureaucracy for specifiers, for consultants, and for contractors. It's bureaucracy that we welcome, though, because it's leading to more accountability in design and more governance in how we build for the future. The role of manufacturers in a transforming industry. The implementation of the Building Safety Act will see industry transform and change. SFS has already begun its response with increased focus on customer centricity. And construction product manufacturers must respond, as we have to comply with the Act as much as anybody else. But what does that mean in practice? It means being very knowledgeable about the performance of our product and how it can be used. It means guiding those specifiers, consultants, and contractors in how to apply and install the products, and it means doing so without assuming design responsibility ourselves. We're not the designer, we're the manufacturer. Our responsibility is to ensure our people have the knowledge of the product and the ability to share that knowledge, so the relevant professionals can make informed decisions. That knowledge and its communication is at the heart of the customer centricity. Aligned with all this is our decision to adopt and be assessed against the Code for Product Information, or CCPI, which we'll discuss next. The Code for Construction Product Information, or CCPI. At the time of release, CCPI remains a voluntary scheme that manufacturers can put themselves forward for. Nevertheless, it is gaining traction. Tier 1 contractors, house builders, and even insurers are putting their weight behind the scheme and becoming demand-side supporters. The CCPI was created to promote a culture change in the way construction product information is provided and marketed. At its core is the requirement for information to be clear, accurate, up-to-date, accessible, and unambiguous. Among its clauses, the code requires manufacturers to have a documented sign-off process for creating product information supported by a formal version control process, accurately represent product information and valid documentation, be clear about what any warranties cover, and make technical support contact details visible and accessible. The code's final clause, meanwhile, requires manufacturers to have training programs in place to ensure anyone conveying product information is competent for the level of knowledge required in their role. Underpinning everything in the code, including the items listed above, is an assessment of an organization's culture and leadership. The assessment is carried out before any auditing of actual product information. In my view, the code elements relating to culture and training and to product knowledge and communication cannot be achieved without a customer-centric approach. Digitalization and the golden thread of data. Decision-making accountability. Elements of CCPI, like how we make our current documentation available, how we version control it, and how we release it online and through added value services, are all encompassed by one thing, digitalization. And ultimately, digitalization leads back to the golden thread of data, which is one of the central concepts of the Building Safety Act. The golden thread is about the accountability for decisions as to what goes into a building, from the start of the concept and design through to operation and use. It's also about data, and that data has to be digital. Digitalization is more than just a website. It has been around for a long time. The Construction 2025 strategy identified it as part of industry modernization. But the construction industry is slow to react, so there are still examples of organizations who have a website and think, we're digitalized. It's so much more than that. From digital tools, to how you operate and serve your customers, to transparency of information about your products and how they work in the built environment. SFS has an omni-channel approach for our customers. Information is easily accessible through the website, and if you wish, products are available to order 24/7. And of course, during working hours, our customer services team is there for support. We're still a human business. Our team are there to give support to anybody and everybody who needs it. Supporting customers with digital tools. Then we offer access to Connect Suite, a collection of digital tools allowing customers to grow their application knowledge and receive application-specific support to guide design decisions. Currently, Connect Suite has two key tools. The first is Project Builder for our rainscreen subframe systems. This allows customers to get an approximate per meter squared price of a subframe system and layout based on the information provided. The second is the Fall Protection Visualizer for our horizontal lifeline system. Installers can upload their roof plan and create a scheme that guides the installer as to what they can and can't do. It also generates a bill of materials, so the installer has a branded proposal to use in a quotation pack or within their estimation department. As well as our customer-facing offering, digitalization is also about internal processes. How do we become more effective? How can we control costs and deliver better value for money for customers? We can use data to optimize every area and increase our efficiencies. Again, it links back to customer centricity, the omni-channel approach, having information available when people need it at any time of the day, and the last mile of service. Customers have transparent information to understand the products they're looking at, they can order those products, and they can track the delivery to the point it's received on site. Transparency and sustainability. Environmental product declarations. We all recognize the importance of sustainability, but what does sustainability look like for a construction product manufacturer? At SFS, we have done the easy things, and there is more we can do, especially to embed sustainability into our organization as part of our customer centricity. At the same time, sustainability is driving accountability in our industry, alongside the Building Safety Act. Buildings have to be more thermally efficient than they ever have been, delivering lower energy costs. This performance in use, measured as operational carbon, is only one aspect of sustainability. Embodied carbon and whole life carbon is measured now too, and must influence how we, as a manufacturer, design our products. SFS was one of the first to receive EPDs for some of our products. The journey we started 2 or 3 years ago has led to all of our rainscreen subframe products having EPDs. Now, we're working on our fall protection products, as well as our flat roofing and cladding fixings. EPDs and responsible sourcing of raw materials. It's important to remember that having an EPD doesn't make a construction product sustainable. EPDs don't declare a certain level of sustainability or fitness for low-carbon buildings. In particular, the scope of an EPD matters, especially if making a judgment between two similar products. To assess the carbon emissions associated with a building, transparency matters if accurate comparisons are to be made about one's product's contribution compared to another. Obtaining EPDs is a relatively simple process. The difficult part is measuring and quantifying the carbon. For our products, we have chosen a scope that encompasses cradle to grave. It starts with our raw materials and where they're sourced, then where is the product manufactured, the transport of our goods, and the route it takes to get to the end user. This is only the first phase of a product's complete life cycle, but it tends to be where the majority of carbon is emitted. For that reason, responsible sourcing is very important to SFS globally. For our part in the UK, we seek to source our goods from within Europe. This means they're tightly controlled. We know their properties meet our specifications, and they have the shortest possible journey to travel to the end user. Our EPDs reflect this, and it demonstrates we're being as responsible as possible. Recycling and the circular economy. Aluminium, a case study in recycled content. It is said, justifiably, that the most sustainable building is the one that doesn't need to be built. All actions associated with constructing and using a new building have an environmental impact and create carbon emissions. Manufacturing and specifying construction products with a proportion of recycled content is an obvious way to reduce raw material demand. SFS is constantly looking at ways to play its part in this, including being at the forefront of technology in terms of how aluminium is produced and extruded. Aluminium is the popular choice for rainscreen subframe components, thanks to its ideal combination of strength, durability, and lightweight. A key advantage of aluminium is its ability to be endlessly recycled without a loss of quality. Around 3/4 of the aluminium ever produced is still in use today, and recycling rates remain high. Aluminium subframe components produced by SFS use a magnesium and silicon alloy numbered CIS-005, produced from 100% recycled material. No new raw material is needed to produce our aluminium subframe components. According to Hydro Aluminium UK, only 5% of original energy is used to produce recycled aluminium, compared to that needed for virgin material. Our Rainscreen Subframe Sustainability White Paper discusses this subject in more detail. Maintaining material quality through closed loops. A more sustainable product made with a higher proportion of recycled content is no use if it doesn't deliver what is expected of it. As the Council for Aluminium in Buildings, or CAB, says, to keep aluminium in the loop, it must be collected and sorted properly. A closed loop, therefore, seeks to only remelt scrap with certain compatible alloys, making it easier to control the alloying content during recycling. To that end, the CAB has created a closed loop recycling scheme, which aims to bring together the value chain and support better recycling processes for aluminium in buildings. Not only is SFS part of the CAB scheme, we have also changed our material supply to be part of C4 Aluminium. This market-leading CIS-005 grade alloy generates only 4.2 kilograms of carbon for every 1 kilogram of aluminium produced, instead of 7 kilograms. Modern methods of construction, or MMC. Sustainability is not just what we build with, but how we build. Modern methods of construction were introduced to the mainstream in Construction 2025. In 2018, the CLC agreed a £400 million deal between the UK government and industry to help develop digital, manufacturing and performance capabilities, and to establish the Construction Innovation Hub. Government and industry agreed that MMC is a route by which to build in a more sustainable and efficient way. At the same time, MMC would help to reduce risks on site by bringing more processes into tightly controlled factory environments. Off-site and prefabrication has been around for a long time and not always with the best reputation. What we are talking about with MMC is a long way from post-war prefab housing and a step up from factory-built off-site products like site cabins. With MMC, the challenge is how we build housing, offices, schools and hospitals in a more standardized way, faster, safer, with better tolerances and lower environmental impact. Yes, MMC can be complete systems for delivering buildings in a new way, but it can also be small changes in processes or equipment, which future-proof contractors by delivering safety and productivity improvements. Construction has a bit of a legacy. It is often criticized for being too slow to change, but sometimes it is slow to change for the right reasons. MMC has been talked about for a long time. It continues to evolve and grow. We can't afford to rush in and adopt solutions that don't prove themselves in delivering the promised benefits. As a result, in the years to come, it will become the way our buildings are built. How can MMC shape the construction industry's future? Responsible sourcing helps the construction industry to know where a manufacturer's products come from and what performance characteristics they have. EPDs are a universal way to report the environmental impacts associated with those products. That all lays the groundwork for modern methods of construction which have the potential to ensure that the product knowledge then lives with the building for its complete lifespan. Using quality products with lower environmental impact can help to make sure the buildings we construct are now fit for the future and have long design lives. But what happens after that design life is as important, if not more important. Our built environment mustn't be a store of problems for people in 100 or 150 years to deal with then. Using transparently reported product data and knowledge, we must use reporting tools like EPDs together with MMC to ensure future generations have the information they need to use our products in new, exciting, and responsible ways that we can't imagine in the present. Structured competency frameworks. Investing in people today to make a difference tomorrow. If MMC is going to help future-proof the built environment for the unknown challenges that lie ahead, then construction product manufacturers need to ensure their people can support the wider construction industry to make the shift to more sustainable practices. The subject of training and skills brings us back to how we invest in our people and the culture we embed within our organization. The CCP EYES name suggests the scheme is purely an assessment of an organization's product information. Before any of that happens, though, there is an audit of culture and leadership. And to ultimately be assessed successfully, manufacturers must have training programs in place to ensure people have appropriate competency for their role. Being part of CCPI is therefore helping to formalize the training we deliver to our employees. We've put in place a structured competency framework that means all our employees have a training matrix for their job role. This allows us to look at any skills gaps, delve a training, and monitor progress. Bringing everybody along for the journey. When talking about customer centricity, I wrote that every person in the business must ask themselves, are my actions having a good or bad impact on the customer's experience? Without the necessary competency, nobody can be expected to answer that question and contribute to a safer and more sustainable construction industry. Perhaps more importantly, an organization cannot rely on trickle-down decision-making to positively influence the culture of its employees. We don't achieve better customer centricity just because a figurehead at the top says it's what we do. We don't deliver higher standards of competency because a figurehead at the top says we do, something the construction industry as a whole would do well to remember at times. Some trickle-down effect happens, but it is a small piece of the jigsaw. By implementing training and culture change at every level, we bring everyone on the journey with us. Everybody supports one another to make the vision a reality. At SFS, we invent success together and secure futures because we encourage it throughout the organization. We don't have one person working on it by themselves in a silo. We encourage open mindsets and collaborative approaches. Training frameworks and customer centricity will only reinforce this approach. Wider construction industry engagement. Learning is a two-way process. Using the CCPI as a framework to upskill our workforce is very important, but it is purely internal. An organization like SFS needs to think externally too. The future of our industry depends on the connections we all forge and the networks we all become part of. 6 or 7 years ago, we created the Academy in Leeds. It is a facility that we designed to deliver knowledge to customers and end users. Anyone using the Academy has an opportunity to learn, whether that is from a hands-on perspective, an academic pressure, or a product specification perspective. We even welcome project teams to the facility, giving them a chance to hold kickoff meetings where they can learn about products and how they are applied. Crucially, this isn't just SFS teaching people. We strive for two-way communication so both parties educate one another about best practices. Bridging the skills gap. The contribution we can make to academia was a significant driver in developing the Academy. Leeds has two major universities, Leeds and Leeds Beckett. The city has a student population of around 70,000, among which are people studying at the Construction College and the Architectural College. Our industry has a skills gap. We are constantly seeking to build relationships and make a positive contribution to the education of the next generation. One part of the solution to that is closer collaboration between industry and academia. Many lecturers in higher education have typically progressed through the construction industry by traditional routes. They have never worked in MMC or digital construction. Some training is possible, but they are not experts and can't answer in-depth questions from students. Higher education can't afford the salaries of specialists in modern construction, so good networks with industry are essential. At the same time, academia is supporting the shift to supply chain 4.0, the move away from linear supply chain management to information flowing in multiple directions with potential benefits in productivity, sustainability, and digital transformation, and developing tools that can help, but the industry is often unaware of them. Open communication is therefore vital. We need to play our part and help to train and educate young people coming through in their professional careers. One way we can do that is by offering our Academy facility to their benefit. Challenges and opportunities. Success is not an individual accomplishment. After more than 3 decades in construction product manufacturing, people sometimes ask about my proudest or favorite achievement. I don't see success as any one individual thing. Achievement at SFS is collective. It's the success of our people. I love to see people grow. I love to see their careers develop. For that to happen requires an environment in which they can grow and develop. Everybody contributes to that environment. Yes, part of its culture. A good culture that motivates people and cultivates their skills is something we should always strive to deliver. For the last 9 years, our whole business has been on a journey, and we can look back at that journey and say we have done some very successful things. By no means are we perfect, and we'll continue to focus on the areas we need to improve. Customer centricity is what we're working on now to really bring that culture into the heart of our organization. There's a period of exciting change ahead of us. Everything I've talked about in this white paper brings a challenge. It also brings an opportunity. The thing I can be proudest of is having developed a team and a business that can embrace and deliver on those opportunities. To conclude, innovation is everything. The future of construction is transformative. The Building Safety Act, education and training, process improvement, digitalization. How do you summarize all of these in terms of where we need to focus? For me, the answer is clear: innovation. Innovation isn't just in a product. It's far-reaching. It's in digitalization. It's in the development of people. It's in processes and efficiencies. At SFS, we are preparing our teams to continually upskill, to be educated, and to be competent in positioning our products for the right applications. When we marry that with sustainability and with collaboration, and when everything comes together holistically, then we are hopefully positioning ourselves to be ready for tomorrow's construction industry. The catalyst for every decision and every action. The Construction 2025 strategy sought to lower construction and whole life asset costs, improve project timescales, and reduce carbon emissions. Those goals are no less relevant now, and some progress has been made. But they are goals that have also been reframed by a renewed focus on safety, the pressing need for digitalization, and an industry skills crisis that shows little sign of being tackled. SFS views customer centricity as the foundation on which to build all these elements of a modern, successful, and future-facing construction industry. Our approach will deliver the necessary ongoing and long-term change within our organization to consistently deliver the innovation that is so desperately needed and which we are already known for. To be certain of securing our industry's future, we must make sure a customer-centric approach is the catalyst for every decision and every action. Significant long-term effort. At the end of February 2025, the Labour government formally responded to all the recommendations of the Grenfell Tower inquiry and set out a course of action for implementing all of them. Among the aims of the accompanying construction products, Reform Green Paper is to cut out the rot in the sector and allow competence to take root. Safety will come first, and a culture of responsibility will prevail. The Building Safety Act has started a process of change and transformation, and construction product reform will do the same. At the time of release, the consultation proposes ideas like digital product passports and a construction library that houses information about more than just fire safety. The journey of digitalization is only just starting. The Green Paper acknowledges the scale of the task. The construction product sector is large and complex. The necessary changes will require significant long-term effort from both government and industry. As true as this is, there is also frustration within the industry that the real transformation we need is taking too long. As manufacturers, we can play our part by not waiting for the legislation to be made, but by leading. We can demonstrate our values loudly and clearly to our customers. We can adopt schemes like CCPI. And we can create the digital tools our industry colleagues need to support their ability to comply, whether that's with the Building Safety Act today or whatever new legislation is around the corner.